Hello out there and welcome. My name is Sharon Froschen. I am the Chief Operating Officer of the Discover Your Path You platform, where we believe that every life can teach and everyone can grow. To that end, I am also the host of this show, The Connection Sessions, where we bring together practitioners, marketers, entrepreneurs, artists, spiritualists, mentors, and students in an effort to create community, connect to community, and grow together. With me today, I have one of the nominees from a previous interviewee, Damian Liversidge, who is here today to share with us why mindset is so important from the perspective of his own experience. So Damian, if you wouldn't mind sharing with us a little bit about how you got into life coaching and what you've learned about mindset as a function of your own personal experience.
Yeah, sure, no problem. Basically, the funny part is, everyone loves asking me why life coaching, and I think it's actually quite a it's quite an interesting question every now and again, because you get to have fun with it. I mean, it depends how you want to look at it. I mean, I go to networking a lot, and they're like, "What's a life coach?" So it's you sit there going, "Okay, how do I explain it?" But the reason why I got into it was basically to help people that were in my situation, if I can put it that way, where the limiting beliefs just got stronger and stronger and stronger, and it feels like you're in this like never ending hole, so like a bottomless pit in other words. And basically quite simple, it was you had that passion just to help people and say, you know what, I've been in there where it feels like the rug has been pulled out underneath your feet, and let me help you. I want to be there and try and help these guys and girls as well to get to the point where they actually feel like they're living the life they actually want. Mm-hmm. And I think that is my main reason why I got into life coaching. But it was also from my background from when I was a kid. Basically, my seventh grade, I was about 13 years old back then. And here in South Africa, that's when you do what we call an aptitude test, where you find out, okay, what are your interests and which line are you going to go in? For me right now, I look back and I go, why did my parents ever do this to me? Because I don't even know what I wanted back then. So it's one of those things where you're like, okay, you know what, let's just do it because parents said you have to do it.
Yeah.
And this was basically halfway through my seventh year. And 2 weeks after the test, we went to the psychologist's offices. And obviously, a whole bunch of my friends were there that also did the test. And we were left lost. Mm-hmm. And we walked in and we sat down. Now, obviously, he's across from us and he says, I'm sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Liversidge, but I don't think your son is going to make it to university at all. And I don't think he's going to become a success.
Wow.
And that stuck with me for basically the whole of my high school.
Yeah.
And it was tough. And let's just say you're in that mindset where you go, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. Yeah. And then when you do like sports, you're like, I'm not going to make the team because I'm not going to be successful, you know?
Yeah.
And from that, it was 4 years after that. Now, in my elementary years, I was doing quite well. Seventh grade, I was doing well until that point. Mm-hmm. But then I went to high school, and that's where the wheels came off big time. And the worst part was when I hit my ninth year. In that year, my mom got sick, and she went into hospital for about 3 to 4 months. Now, obviously, dad has to go and visit her, and now it's just me and my little sister. And my sister is 10 years younger than me at this very moment, and she obviously didn't know what was going on, and I had to look after her for nearly 3 months. But like, even though dad was around, but there was times where dad wasn't around and I had to step up as a father figure. That happened, and I was like, why me? You know, like, why is my mom there? Maybe it's because it's me, you know, you put it all on yourself again.
Mm-hmm.
And thank goodness mom came out of hospital, and I was really struggling in school, and I was going on. And then the next year, my 11th year, was the time I had to put in my marks to go to university.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that whole year, it was like you make sure you don't do anything good. In other words, the subjects, you don't do it well because you're scared of what might happen if I do well. So you kind of hold back and you're like, you know what? I remember what happened in the seventh grade. I'm not going to make it. So why even try? And through that, I just said, you know what? Okay, let's just like throw in the towel type of thing.
Yeah.
And my dad actually took me aside one evening, and I can remember this evening. He sat me down on the coffee table in the living room, and he's like, you sit there. And I'm like, can't I sit on at least a comfortable chair? But I felt, you know, I look back and I'm going, he was interrogating me in some form of way, not to make me comfortable, you know?
Yeah.
And my mom was there with him, but my dad actually led the conversation. And he says, listen, he says, you were doing well in school, but I've noticed a pattern, but I didn't want to say anything and try and break your hopes or anything like that. But what is going on? And I said, well, why should I even try if I'm not going to university? And he goes, boy, who said that? The minute he said that, I was like, well, that psychologist. And he was like, what? That was 4 years, nearly 5 years ago. And I'm like, well, it's true. Why must I do it if, according to my tests,
yeah,
I should do it? What's the point? And he says, tell me, you still like a challenge, don't you? And you put it forward. And I was like, well, yes, I love a challenge. And during that time, I actually managed to get into the chess team, but I was like I was a social chess player.
Mm-hmm.
And I did do well, but you still like doubt your abilities, even though you get results, but you're like, no, that's just luck. You blame it on luck. It's like, there we go. And throughout that whole process, he's like, he's still trying to egg me on to take on this challenge that he has, but he hasn't mentioned what this flipping challenge is.
Uh-huh.
So I said, okay, what is it? So he goes, okay, I want you to prove this guy wrong.
Ooh, there's a challenge.
And it hit me. It hit me.
Yeah.
And I said to him, but how? How do I prove this guy wrong that has proof in tests? And he goes, don't worry about the tests. He says, let's start scratch now. He says, you've got still 2 terms left. He says, let's do it. Let's prove him wrong. How do you think you can manage a decent pass, not just pass? How can you improve? So I said, okay, I can maybe put more effort in. I can maybe do the homework that I'm supposed to do. Maybe actually study for tests. Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay, let's start. When's your next test? So I said, well, next month. So he goes, okay, let's prepare. And we prepare. And now comes time to hand in my marks. Because I got to a point where I finished the third term. It wasn't bad and it wasn't good, but it was decent.
Yeah.
And he goes, okay, let's put your marks in. I was like, no, I don't want to do that. He goes, you promised that you're going to accept the challenge. I was like, hands up, you know, I surrender. Let's just do it, you know, just to please my dad, because my dad is trying to egg me on you.
Yeah.
So I put it in, and then obviously nearly 6 months later. But before that happened, now this was 6 months later, but during those 6 months, my dad fell ill with multiple organ failure.
Oh, wow.
And normal flu medicine, and all of a sudden, boom, it hits it. And again, I have to now resume in my final year of high school, which is really important.
Yeah.
I now need to look after a baby sister again. This time she's older, thank goodness, but I still had to look after because mom is busy focusing on dad. And I'm like, okay, well, here I am. I'll go walk from my school to her school, pick her up, walk to this thing, and then you can fetch us. You know, that was all the plan. I had to make all the plans. I had to make sure that when we were picked up from school, whether it be our minister that picked us up or my aunt that picked us up, I had to make sure that, hang on, I need to make sure that my sister's with me. Mm-hmm. And there was a time I nearly forgot because I was so focused with my friends. I had to run to that to the school. And thank goodness I was on time and did all that. And then he got better, thank goodness. I must admit, he did get better. Oh. And about, I think it was, what, not even a month after, a letter came in the post from the university. I opened this letter and I'm like, no, I'm not going to read this because I'm too scared. I'm like, I don't want to open it up. So obviously my mom's next to me and she says, do you want to read it now? I said, no, I'm not going to read it now. So I put it on the dashboard of the car. And we drive away and then we get home and then I grab the letter and I'm like, so I just put it one side, you know, try and like not face the fact that it's there in my face.
Yeah.
And my dad came home and he saw that letter and he's like, what's this? Ah, it's just a letter. You know, you don't want to say what it is. And he looks and he goes, this is not some letter. This is from the university. So he decides, no, he's going to open up and read it. And when he got it, he said, okay, are you ready? I'm like, well, you give me no choice. Let's just listen. And he says, He read out loud, it said there, dear Damien Liversidge, congratulations, you have been provisionally accepted into the University of Pretoria.
Oh, wow.
And at that stage, I was a little bit like in disbelief that it actually happened. It's just like, why? How? He goes, well, clearly your marks were good enough. And that was from the previous year. And I was actually working for a distinction in my final year because I wanted to actually have a good last report card, you know that. Mm-hmm. And I passed what they call a bachelor's degree, which is actually the highest type of pass that you can get. And I was quite chuffed with myself and I was like, okay, cool. Went and studied education, but I dropped out after 2 years. So I did manage to get into university. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to do education, you know, I didn't want to become a teacher stuck in a classroom full of kids. Though I love working with the youth in that, but I did not want to work with them in a classroom environment.
Absolutely.
So from there, I was like, okay, what do I do? Now, in my second year, the second year that I was there, I got big time into my dancing. Mm-hmm. And that actually helped my mindset quite a bit because I got trained by some of the top guys here in South Africa. And I'm very grateful for that. I wasn't expecting to actually get trained by some of the best. Mm-hmm. And with that, I was like, okay. And it trained me mentally, as in for the discipline side of things. And those lessons I'll take away.
Yeah.
And then I decided, let me instruct rather, because I mean, I got to a point where I got to the high level and I got a championship or two. And I was like, okay, now it's time for me to start teaching. Taught for what it was like 8 years. Mm-hmm. And then I lied, 7 years. Then I became a kids pastor at a church. Unfortunately, had to leave under very tough circumstances, and I wasn't very happy with over there. So it felt like, you know, my world came tumbling down. I was like, okay, went back home, obviously, to my parents. Thank goodness I've got a little cottage that I can stay in. But
yeah,
you sit there and you go, what now?
Yes.
I was back where I felt was like, what do I do now? I've got no significance. Mm. And I felt like, what's the point? It's like, there was a time where I wanted to actually just say goodbye life. I want to hit the road. I can't do this anymore. And that is the honest truth. I felt like I just wanted to give up on life. Mm. But if it wasn't for some of my friends that were very close to me and they knew what I was going through, they said, okay, you know what? The one guy, he kept on phoning me. He's like, hey, how you doing? And I'm like, okay, I'm good. And he's like, listen, you need to come over every day before you move to back home. You know, that was during that time. And he helped me through that. But then I got home and then I had friends that were here waiting for me going, okay, you're not going to be alone. Mm. And I was like, okay, fine. Still didn't feel like I was happy or anything. I was happy with my friends, but I wasn't happy. You know, that significance. And I don't know what my purpose was. Mm. And then I obviously I decided to do something with my time. One of my parents, my mom this time, I'm going to buy you a course and you are going to finish it within 6 months. And this was the TEFL course. She just said, you will finish it. I was like, oh, man, I finished it literally because of the one assignment took so forever to mark. I finished it 5 days before the deadline she gave. So I managed, but uh-huh. it was hard because I was still not right mentally. Mm-hmm. Then from there, I was like, you know what? What can I do to actually get myself to the next level? And that's when I came across Kane Ramsey's course, the life coaching course. And I was like, you know what, let me take it. Maybe it can help me. Maybe it won't. Who knows? Yeah. Got addicted to it, literally. And right. I started working on myself. Most of the guys that I know, like, for example, you and all that, we come from there. So mm-hmm. So that's where how I connected with most of the guys, and I learn a lot from that.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? Might as well just jump in and actually, you know, become a life coach, you know, and how I'm better now. I'm ready. Let's go and do that. I mean, I did the mindfulness course, I did the CBT course, and then I started doing other things that I really just started packing it on without realizing what my mindset really was. Mm-hmm. And then late last year, around about, I would say, June, July, I was actually at a youth camp, and I woke up quite early the one time because I couldn't fall back asleep. So I got dressed and I went to go sit outside on a winter's morning. I don't know why. I was crazy. It was cold. So I don't know why I did it, but I sat there and I started actually reevaluating and going, where am I mentally? Am I actually doing the things that I want to do, or am I doing the things because I just have to? Mm. And I evaluated. I said, okay, this part of my life, it was because I had to.
Yes.
But from there onwards, it's stuff that I actually wanted to do. I just didn't realize it.
What a change of mindset.
Definitely. And unfortunately, people don't realize it when they need to. And they forget to reevaluate. I sit here and go, why did these things happen to me? And eventually I say, you know what? Things happen for a reason. Mm-hmm. Things have a reason. And there's a lesson in most of the things we go through. And I just carried on. And I started working on my mindset. And I started pushing and pushing and pushing. And I'm at a point now where I met a few friends, I think it was last year, in life coaching that were also fellow life coaches. And some of them started saying, Damien, you are like Zorro. And I was like, no, I'm not. You've got to be joking. Why is Zorro? And they say, because you are for people. You're not for yourself. You're not there in it for the money. You're actually just there to help people. And I was like, well, okay, cool. Let's do it. And eventually I started adopting the name Zorro of coaching. And that's where it started. And I was like,
dude, I
let's
love it.
Go. And I mean, normally I don't take on titles, but I mean, I was like, okay, well, let's just call myself the Zorro of coaching. And that's how it built up from there.
That's and fantastic.
Sorry?
That's fantastic. I love how your experience with the psychologist is literally one of those things that our clients, it's going to affect them for the rest of their lives. And we have that experience where someone says something to us, and even though he didn't say to you, you're not worth anything, that's the meaning that your young mind assigned to that experience. And from that point forward, that became your mindset. And it's so powerful how we are able to literally create an entire world around ourselves that is all the meaning that we assign to one event. Isn't that powerful?
It's really powerful. And if you don't know how to use it, that's where it comes into it. Eh? And I find if we don't use that pain, if I can put it that way, to motivate us, what's the point? What's the point of actually using that pain? I mean, you have it, use it. Sometimes it's your fire.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was my fire.
Absolutely. There's this movie that I really love called Finding Joe. It's about Joseph Campbell, like one of the most prolific mythologists of the 20th century. And one of the people that's being interviewed on this show says, if you want to know what your purpose is, go back and find that area in your life that just broke your heart. Find that area that made you feel separate. Find that area that made you feel like you didn't belong, because the chances are your bliss, the door to it, is there. And it's so powerful because that really rings true for a lot of us, in that we develop these ideas and these beliefs young in life. And then here we are in our 30s running our life on the belief systems of a 7 and an 8 year old.
It's true. It's so amazing how just one little thing can actually change your own purpose. And I was actually fortunate enough to be at a network marketing and actually speaking there with a bunch of business people. This was yesterday, and I get invited. I sat there going, okay, how to create your success, and that was my topic. And right at the end, I actually said, how do you get your warrior mindset back? And when I went there, something just clicked and said, you've got this whole thing planned out. Why are you even planning it? I was like, okay. So I went with it, and I explained how what I went through, and you know, just that pain.
Yes.
And I started getting feedback from it saying, wow, we didn't know. I was like, well, you didn't know because you don't know me, you know, that type of thing. And they said, well, how is it that pain can create success? And I said, well, quite simply.
We have a question really quickly from our CFO who's on. She says, Damien, how do you help clients make a mindset shift?
A mindset shift? that's always the fun part.
Yes.
To shift their minds. Now, I like what we call the drop down through technique, which does help at a lot of the time, where they focus on that pain.
Yes.
You know, and say, I say to them, okay, you know what? What are you feeling right now? And half the time I get is, I feel hurt, or I feel betrayed, or
yeah.
The one time I even got, I feel hate, but I also feel love.
Wow.
And that's, I was like, funny. How? Like, literally, how? She said, and this lady was actually just recently, her engagement got broken off. Just to give you an idea. And she said to me, I love him, but I hate him. And I was like, okay, well, why do you hate him? No, he broke my heart. But I love him because I actually do love him. I was like, okay. So you kind of in between, but I don't want to say in between, because maybe you in that hate mode because you still love him, or maybe you love him, but you actually do hate him. And it was very confusing. But the way I do it is I make them sit down. And let's say, for example, I had a client on Friday who didn't know she had conflicting thoughts. In other words, and it was like, no, I don't think I should take this opportunity because of I don't have the resources or the time or whatever it is. And it got to a point where I said, okay, what is your mind actually saying about this? In what way can it help you? So she's in the negative, and I started changing it to see how can she think positively. And she goes, well, if I think logically, it can actually give me a little bit of income to do X, Y, Z. I said, okay, well, there's income. I said, okay, what does your heart tell you? No, it's something that I love to do because it's my passion, because she's an author. So I was like, okay, cool. What does your gut say? obviously our gut always says, do it, you know, it's just do it.
I got to tell you, Damien, you know what's awesome about this is that our CFO who just asked you that question is a MBIT practitioner. And that's what MBIT is. It's aligning the head, the heart, and the gut. So I'm sure that she's watching your response right now going, yeah, that's so great. Unfortunately, we are already at the end of our half hour now. I wish we had more time, but we don't. Thank you so much for joining me today, Damien. You had quite an audience today. Becky Stokes, Sarah Whalen, Monique Prinslow, Michelle Wiseman, Ed Keating, Margaret Gunderson, Doxy, Andrea Hendren. You had a bunch of people here watching you today, cheering you on, who loved your message. I hope you will go back to this live video and interact with these comments that people left you because they're really great. To all of our viewers, thank you so much for being with us here today. We always appreciate having an audience, especially an audience that interacts like y'all were interacting today. You were getting down. So if you come and you find this video after we're no longer live, drop us a hashtag replay. Let us know that you were here. And if you like what Damien had to say, if you are in a position where you know you need to shift your mindset and you need a guide to do it, all of Damien's contact information is in this live. Get a hold of him. Reach out to him. Let him help you through something that he's obviously helped himself through already, so he knows the territory. Thank you to everyone who watched. Thank you again, Damien, for being here today. And as always, guys, you know I love you, and we'll see you here on Monday, same time, same place. Bye.